Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maid. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in anger I challenged his right for the love of this maiden. Down went his hand for the gun that he wore. My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. A handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Rose's Cantina, I think it was called, but it was a great song. Marty Robbins. All kinds of things going on around the El Paso Mexican border right now. We're going to talk about it a little later, but good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, May the 10th, and a lot is going on. In a few minutes, Neville Kramer, a security consultant, a former INS official, an immigration expert, he's going to join us. And we are going to talk about the ending of Title 42 tomorrow and what we can expect. And I don't think it's good news, but we'll talk about it with Neville. Also, Republicans reveal what they call incriminating evidence of a conspiracy and a cover-up over alleged Biden family payoffs from foreign countries. We are going to give you an update on that in just a few minutes, if you would stay tuned. And California Governor Gavin Newsom, who I think is probably going to run for president on the Democratic ticket, takes a stand on whether his state should be paying out reparations to its black residents. We will talk about his feelings on that. And in our ultimate top 10, speaking about borders, the top 10 states with the longest shared borders. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. All right. Well, first of all, talk a little bit about the latest inflation numbers. Inflation rose again last month despite an aggressive interest rate hike campaign by the Federal Reserve. It indicates that strong underlying price pressures still bubbling beneath the surface of the economy and continuing to burden millions of Americans. The Labor Department said this morning that the Consumer Price Index, which is a broad measure of the price for everyday products, including gas and groceries and what you pay for rent, rose 0.4% in April from the previous month. That's faster than the 0.1% increase recorded in March. Prices went up 4.9% on an annual basis. So what does that mean? It means that we're still paying higher prices. That's what it means. All of that. Now, if you were listening to CBS News, and I was listening to it, I don't think they said a word about what's going on with the Biden family and all of this money laundering, apparently. But the House Oversight and Accountability Committee says that the Biden family and its business associates created more than 20 companies and received more than $10 million from foreign nationals while Joe Biden served as vice president, and that some of these payments could indicate attempts by the Biden family to peddle influence. Now, Committee Chairman James Comer, he was just on, we were watching Fox News, and he was up there. He released a memo ahead of his press conference that included new information from his investigation into the Biden family's, quote, influence peddling and business schemes, unquote. The memo said that the Biden family appeared to take steps to conceal the source and total amount received from the foreign companies. They had all kinds of shell companies, apparently, and they were transferring money back and forth and doing all kinds of weird things to hide where the money was really coming from. So, away we go. Now, we're going to see, and it's interesting how most of these, except for Fox, most of these networks are not even covering this.
Well, as you said, CBS led with the Santos deal.
Yeah, George Santos. I mean, you're going to leave. I'll tell you what.
Well, he is a slippery dude.
He is slippery, and it should be mentioned. But ahead of this, they didn't even mention it.
No.
They went to Tucker Carlson and something about his setting up a Twitter account. Apparently, that's more important. It's more important than what the Biden family is doing.
And I checked the Communist News Network, too, and they're also on the Santos thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they'll talk about Trump.
Well, that's a daily
thing. They'll talk about
thing,
Trump being found guilty of some sort of harassment of that woman years ago, although they found him not guilty, or at least they didn't charge him with anything on the on a rape situation. But apparently he's supposed to pay $5 million to this woman, but he says he will appeal that as well. So we'll see about that. In the meantime, Biden sat down with Kevin McCarthy yesterday, and in the room was also our friend Mitchell from Kentucky, the former Senate Majority Leader, and the current Majority Leader from Schumer from New York. So the four of them were sitting in there, but apparently, according to McCarthy, not much was accomplished. McCarthy said he saw no new movement from Biden during their meeting on how to raise the government's borrowing limit. Now, this is just weeks before the federal government is set to run out of money. Basically, they're set to run out of money by June the 1st. They won't have any more money to pay anything. Here's what he said. Everybody in this meeting reiterated the positions they were at. I did not see any new movement. He said nothing has changed for Biden since they met on the same issue on February the 1st. McCarthy said that the next step on this issue is for staff-level meetings to take place over the rest of the week, and then to hold another meeting between Biden, McCarthy, and other congressional leaders on Friday. So, away we go with that. Biden actually held a news conference after that, and he did take about four or five questions.
Yeah, well,
he got upset, too, about one of the questions that was asked of him.
Well, because probably they were an ice cream question.
Well, it could be.
But
Go ahead.
You noticed that one of the things that past presidents did, they'd get that round table thing, or they'd all sit down and then they'd hash something out, and they go, that's what we're going to do. You don't see that with him. They kind of speak their piece, and then he goes in the back room, and then a couple of days later, he comes out, and he announces it. Yeah, I don't think he can think on the fly like that. I really don't, which tends you to believe that he's not the one that's running this place.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to be really involved in any discussions of any meaningful.
I've not seen him sit down, like you just said, and try to hammer something out, come to decisions. It's almost like he sits there and tries to stay awake, and then goes in the back room, and then the next day they decide what they want to do, and then they have him come out and speak of it.
I think that's a probably correct. I don't think that this guy is really fully participating in this.
He's really declining. I mean, he's really declining. Really going down.
Yeah. He got upset with a reporter during the question and answer session that he took, believe it or not. He said, you didn't listen. Biden traded heated words with a reporter last night after he was asked about the ongoing debt ceiling negotiation. House Republicans argued that they will not raise the debt ceiling and increase the amount of the money that the federal government can borrow unless Biden agrees to cut spending. But the president interrupted a reporter multiple times when asked about his negotiation with McCarthy. Here's Biden. Well, you didn't listen either, so why should I even answer the question, he snapped. He said, we cut the deficit by $160 billion. B-I-L-L-I-O-N. He did spell the word right, though.
I'm impressed.
Dollars.
Thought I'm on a good day.
On the Medicare deal. He said, we cut the deficit by raising the tax on people making, and then he stopped, 55 corporations that made $40 billion to 15%. What the hell is he talking about? That's what I want to know. I don't think he even knows what he's talking about. Anyway, we're going to switch gears after we take this break. Our buddy Neville Kramer is going to join us. We're going to talk about the end of Title 42. Sugar.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So, the United States is bracing for the expiration of a pandemic-era border restriction tomorrow, with officials fearing it will spur a huge surge of migrants and exacerbate an already challenging humanitarian crisis at the southern border. It was first implemented, by the way, Title 42, under the Trump administration as a response to the pandemic. It has been kept in place by the courts, and it's been used by the Biden administration to deal with migrants at the border. But U.S. Customs and Border Protection has already seen an uptick in the migrants crossing the border with Mexico, with more than 8,000 daily encounters, that according to the Homeland Security official. Even Mayorkas himself, the Homeland Secretary, says things are going to be a little bit chaotic. Well, I can't think of a better guy to bring in to help us work the immigration chaos than Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant. He is a former INS official. My goodness, he's an immigration expert. Hi, Neville. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Paul. Ed, how are you today?
I think we're doing good, but we're a little bit worried about that border. We're a little bit worried about all those people lining up, Neville. And even the Biden administration admits that things are going to be really tough, as if they haven't been up until now. So Title 42 is coming to an end. And what are we going to do in place of it, if anything?
Well, I just wanted to interject this. I saw an article in a magazine quite recently, and it might tell you a little bit about what's coming. It said 1,700 years ago, the mismanagement of a migrant crisis cost Rome its empire. So we know that if we don't learn from our past mistakes, that we're doomed to failure, and we're heading that way.
I think that's exactly right. I think that's an exact thing to look at. Because, like, yeah. 500 AD, you're right, that's when Rome's dominance over the what was known of the world came to an end, and it was people kind of seeping into its empire. You're right about that.
Yeah, they had uncontrolled immigration. Very few people, you know that, but it seems to be something that that they shouldn't be forgetting, because it, I'm not saying it's the end of our empire, but we're heading in that direction, because I can tell you that the numbers that we're now looking at with the end of Title 42 and the incapacity, the ability of the United States, whether it be with the 1,500 troops or the Border Patrol or whatever else they're going to put down there, our ability to secure that border is impossible. And just so that people understand this, in the last 50 years, we have never had operational control of the border. And any congressman or senator or governor or anybody else that says that we did doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right.
It's never been under control. However, there are groups that do have operational control of the border, and people should realize that. And that's, number one, the Mexican government, and more importantly, the Mexican cartels. They do control the border.
Yeah, I think you're right. And thinking back on what you just said about, over the years, we've never really had control of the border, I think you're right. You go back and, I'm old enough to remember, back in the 50s and 60s, I think that, let's be honest, people came back and forth across the border. A lot of Mexicans would work in one of our states, like Arizona or Texas, come to work. Then they would go home, go back across the border, and they were just kind of back and forth. But then we got to a point where all of this trouble and unrest in Central America and in Mexico as well, and all of a sudden we started having these people kind of building up, didn't we, and start coming across, and we had to start, I was thinking back on the Reagan administration, we had to start keeping an eye on what was going on a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly, Paul. And we another thing that happened, and by the way, I started my Border Patrol career in Eagle Pass, Texas, so I'm very familiar with what's going on down there. Interestingly, the place really hasn't changed that much. But here's another thing that began to happen that over a period of years in the 70s and the 80s and 90s, which has resulted in what we have today, is people began to come into the United States and stay. They did not go back and forth, as you're mentioning, on the southwest border. They didn't come in and work and then go back home for several months. They began to come in and stay in the United States, and they began to send money back home. And in doing so, they created a circular activity of money going back, smugglers being paid, people moving north, and earning the money, sending the money south. And this continuous sending of money and the continuous growth of number of people immigrating illegally to the United States really began to create what we have today, which is somewhere in the vicinity of 20 or 25 million people living here illegally, a wide open border, and it's going to continue. And not only that, but this is a thing that impacts our $31 trillion in debt. Because when you take those billions and billions of dollars that are being sent out of the country, they're not adding to our GDP. They're not being spent over and over and over again. They're going down south to pay people for either drugs or to be smuggled back to the United States. It's an issue, and all of these little issues added up, make it a major problem, as we're seeing.
Yeah. Now, I guess we can say that both parties are to blame. I mean, I guess because the Biden administration is apparently just whistling, past the graveyard on all of this while all of this is happening. They're currently the ones that are being blamed for it. But we've had Republican presidents. Now, people would say that maybe Donald Trump tried to do something about it. I think he did. He was trying to build a wall. He was trying to do a few other things. The implementation of Title 42 and the pandemic. But would you say that both sides are to blame and kind of sitting back and not being aggressive enough?
Absolutely. Paul, you know that I try to be as truthful as I can, and I don't take sides. And in this particular case, I'm not going to take sides. I'm going to tell you the truth. Number one, the Republicans are as much to blame for the Democrats as they are. The Republicans are just as much as blame as the Democrats. They've both had the opportunity to secure the border, and they have not. The Border Patrol is responsible for some of it because they've been given billions and billions of dollars and they've gone from 2,000 agents to 20,000 agents, and all sorts of materials and money and so forth, and they haven't secured the border. But this concept of, you know, one side doing more than the other, neither side has done what they need to secure that border.
Mm-hmm.
One issue is we don't have any control of what goes on in the United States. People come in here, 60% of the people that are in this country illegally didn't come through the border. They came in legally to visit, and they never left. That's one statistic. Another statistic is that we have no system to capture the number of people and how many of them leave once they come here, and we have no stopping of people from getting jobs in the United States illegally and working. So the employers are very happy to have illegal immigrants in here. And if we just continue down this road of people saying that we have to stop it but doing nothing, you know, programmatically to do it, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking with Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant. He is a former border official. He, by the way, wrote a great book, Immigration Chaos, many years back. Is that book, Immigration Chaos, is that still available?
Yeah, you can get it. The electronic version is available mm-hmm. through Amazon. You know, it's funny. I'm a little ahead of my time, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd be rich right now.
Well, I want to mention something that you have been continually talking about every time we get together, and that is E-Verify. E-Verify. Tell us a little bit about that concept.
Well, it began in the early 1980s, and it's simple. It's that if we created in the 86 law a thing called employer sanctions that requires the employers to verify the status of a person to make sure they have the right to work in the country. Anybody that had anything to do with that knew that if the business people start looking at documents, green cards and social security cards, the fraudulent documents are going to be rampant. So much the same as what happened with these credit cards in this country is we had to use technology to prevent fraud. And the way you do that is that you walk into a Walmart with a credit card and you stick it into the machine and it looks at the chip and it goes to a database and it says whether the database says whether the card is valid or not. And there are those of us that said we need the same thing for the green card and we need the same thing for the Social Security card. When you go to apply for a job electronically, you have to have the employer verify that it's valid. And the Congress of the United States, including Democrats and Republicans, said absolutely, positively not. And the reason they said it is because it works, and we don't want it to work. So what E-Verify has had a history coming from the SAVE program in 1986 until its current version, and it runs very well, but they have never mandated it. Well, I shouldn't say that. In some instances, such as Governor DeSantis with his recent legislature in Florida, said we are going to mandate it because it's a good thing to use, and it works. Well, it's not 100%, okay? It does have its things where it can be beaten, but for the most part, it's a very good system. But again, you have to mandate it, and the employers have to use it, and then you have to have some type of punishment that goes along for non-usage. And that's where the thing has failed. And even in the new Florida law, you'll notice that the ability of the state of Florida to go out there and significantly enforce the new law that's coming down is non-existent. Okay, they don't have any 6,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 officers to go out to the state and make certain that employers will be using it. So it's more or less of a facade, as much of all of our immigration enforcement is.
Yeah. Neville, will this problem ever be solved? Is there going to be anybody somewhere along the way that's going to say, look, we've had it, we can't continue doing this anymore? We got to figure out a way to completely make this a secure situation and get back to the days when people came into this country. They had to have a sponsor. They had to have a reason for coming. We used to pick and choose people, usually based on what they could do for the country, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it changed in the 50s when you went to a system where the vast majority of immigrant visas were given to family members. And there was little given to the business community. We've changed that over the years, but to answer your basic question, I'm sorry to say this because it's not a good thing to advocate, and I'm not advocating it, but the way it's all going to stop is going to be with civil unrest.
Yeah.
The politicians don't have the guts to do it, and there is no program that's out there that's going to, number one, secure the border, and number two, make us, enforce our immigration system on the interior of the United States. It requires us to do things to people that we don't want to do, Paul, and us deport them. Move them out. You commit a crime, you go home. Well, we don't do that.
Yeah, and you're right about the civil disorder. It's already starting in some of these cities.
Correct, it is.
Where people are going, we can't take these people. And then they want to farm them out to the suburbs or some other place. And those people don't want them.
Yeah, New York and Chicago are screaming, emergency. You know, we have an emergency. Well, when I was an agent in Chicago and Washington, they were screaming, immigration, go to hell.
Yeah.
Now, times change, I guess. But it's
a bloody mess.
And it's
do you think it's going to be a big issue in the election for president? And if so, I would assume it would work in the Republicans' favor. But I would think it'd be a huge issue this coming presidential election.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
No.
I think it'll be. I just don't think it will. Every time it comes up, you see people deal in a situation that's called, my alien is better than your alien. You have to do so much to allow so many people to stay that the enforcement of the laws, which is deportation, that is the real enforcement of immigration. It's not arresting people and putting them in prison. It's deportation. People don't want to be deported, and they don't want their family and their friends deported. So any initiative that's strong enough to lead to massive deportation will never be implemented.
Well, it's always it would be a horrible visual, and I guess neither party wants to be tarred with the idea of having cameras show families being kicked out of the country, right?
Implementation of E-Verify on a large scale basis and with enforcement would bring an end to about 75% of the illegal immigration into this country.
Well, that would be a huge start.
Yeah, it would be huge. And it might lead to us making illegal immigration socially unacceptable. And once we get to that point, much the same as we did with smoking, then we'll be somewhere without any civil civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can always hope, Neville, and it's always always a pleasure to talk with you. You know so doggone much about it. I know that we'll be talking again about this thing. It's not going to go away. But in the meantime, thank you so very much for your time, and my best to you.
Anytime, Paul. Thank you, Ed. Have a great week, and my tee shots are still straight down the middle. So
yes, I noticed you've been going out there on the golf course, and that's good. Don't hit anybody in the head with the golf ball, please.
I will. Stay in touch, and thanks for the invite. We look forward to coming again.
All right, Neville. Neville Kramer, our buddy. Longtime buddy. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, California Governor Gavin Newsom, is he going to run for president? Well, he has taken a stand on whether California should pay reparations to its black residents. We're going to talk about it.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. And I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, May the 10th. Thank you so very much for being with us. The last show we had, we talked a little bit about reparations in California for its black residents, for the legacy of slavery, although California was a free state. It was never a slave state. But anyway, California Governor Gavin Newsom declined to endorse the cash payments to blacks, which could reach as high as $1.2 million for a single recipient. Now, this reparation plan was recommended by his reparations task force. And here's what Newsom said in the statement. The reparations task force's independent findings and recommendations are a milestone in our bipartisan effort to advance justice and promote healing. This has been an important process, and we should continue to work as a nation to reconcile our original sin of slavery and understand how that history has shaped our country. Dealing with that legacy is about much more than cash payments. Many of the recommendations put forth by the task force are critical action items that we've already been hard at work at, breaking down barriers to vote, bolstering resources to address hate, enacting sweeping law enforcement and justice reform to build trust and safety, and strengthening economic mobility. In other words, we ain't going to pay you any money, but it was a nice thought. So that's kind of where Gavin Newsom stands. Well, he's looking at the Treasury. They don't have any money to pay that out. And the other thing is, how are you going to, even if you had the money, how are you going to determine who gets what? That would be something to watch.
Why, after all these years, has it become an issue? Why now?
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden now?
Well,
why? Because they got used to the government giving out free money? Hey, let's do this. Let's do that.
Because, let's be honest, Democrats pander to different groups by dangling money in front of their noses and saying, elect me.
Oh, I know.
And we're gonna, you're going to be able to get some of this money I'm dangling out from others.
There were people that stood up in the little town meeting or whatever they had and said, if this doesn't pass, you're not going to get the votes you want.
That's right.
Clearly came out and said it.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly came out and said it.
Yeah, either you get us this money, or we're going to remember at the ballot box.
What that slime bag will do is he'll push it through the next election.
Well, he's kind of saying that he's not planning on paying it out. He's trying, he's walking a tightrope. He's walking a tightrope.
Dumbest things
ever. We're going to continue to, you know, to look at these things. You know, it's one of those kinds of things. But no one's going to pay the money. They don't have it. They don't have the money. But it's just, you know, let's talk about it. You know, I mean, come on. If I was a black person in the cities, and I'm looking around at all of the, you know, the crime and all of the things that continue, despite all of this talk and all of this money and all this welfare and all this, that, the other thing. At some point, I got to go, you know what? This ain't working. Whatever they've been doing to make things better for me, it's not working.
Well,
I'm not better off. I'm worse off than a couple of generations ago. You know, we're worse off than we were before.
Well, tell you what, since with the prices gone up and all that stuff, why don't we get extra money because it's not where it was when he took office? When Joe Biden took office, inflation was what, 1.1%? It's gone up as much as 9%. Why don't we start getting? How about a check for all this that had to pay for all that inflation since he came in?
Why not?
Why not us too?
Of course.
It's, you know, I mean, it's inflation is still going up, Paul. I mean, I was in the grocery store yesterday, and I looked at it, and dog food. Dog food, I paid $2.69 a can. You know what I paid yesterday? $3.49.
Yeah.
$3.49 a can.
I know.
That's just ridiculous. I have two dogs. I had to sit them both down, Brooks and Dudley, and look them right in the eye and said, listen, things are tough right now.
How did they take it?
Things are tough. You two are going to have to get jobs.
It is tough. When
but I look at the things that, you know,
yeah.
A gallon of oranges. It's not funny. $8. Eight in Florida.
I
used to be able to go out and grab a tree and squeeze it.
I know it. In fact, maybe we ought to start growing our own trees again and grapefruits. You know what I mean? I mean, it's getting, of course.
But I look at it, and why don't we get reparations for that? Okay, America, guess what? You know what? For the last couple of years, since inflation is so bad, we're going to reimburse you for that. How about that?
I mean, we can take all kinds of groups that have been discriminated against. We can certainly take Asians that have been discriminated against. During World War II, we encamped, we put them into labor camps. Here in the United States, Japanese Americans.
Mm-hmm.
How about we?
Sure.
How about we pay them reparations?
When
how about the Irish? When they came over in the 1800s, they were discriminated against. They couldn't get jobs.
When a stupid idea like this comes up, rather than give it any fuel at all and say, "Well, let's see if we've got the money for it," you say, "Listen, I'm not even going to check and see if we've got the money for it because it's that stupid."
Exactly.
That's the end of it.
But you see, if you would be totally honest like that, you'd be in trouble.
Well,
but
it might be refreshing, you know what?
Exactly.
It might be refreshing.
I think so, too. I think there's, if somebody would have the nerve, you know, to get up, whether it's in Washington or wherever it is, and to be absolutely, totally, 100% truthful and say what he or she is thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, you know, I think, here's the thing, we treat people like they're stupid, as in, if we were honest with them, we don't trust them to respond in a positive way. Well, maybe they would. Maybe they would go, you know, he's right, or she's right, what they're saying, you know? And that person might, in fact, do well, who knows, but they're afraid to try it. They're just absolutely afraid to be honest with us. You know, I keep talking about the Hans Christian Andersen Emperor's New Clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The old story. The only one that's honest enough to say he's not wearing anything was a little kid who didn't know that he shouldn't say that in front of everybody else. It's that kind of thing. I think Hans Christian Andersen was thinking about things like this, you know, people not being honest with each other. So...
It's the age-old thing. The American public can't handle the truth, I guess.
Right. Now, we touched on this, Ed, and you and I were chatting about it before the show began. Donald Trump says that he will appeal a ruling in the Jean Carroll civil case, saying that he has absolutely no idea who this woman is that accused him of forcing himself on her. The jury came out and ordered the former president to pay $5 million for sexual harassment. He was not held liable for rape, but he was held liable for what they called, sexual abuse and defamation. So that's what
Why didn't we see any of this? I mean, I don't remember seeing any... trial going on or facts coming out about it.
Or
I don't even know who the woman is.
No, nobody knows.
Meanwhile, Tara Reid is, on the back burner somewhere. We can't find her.
She's somewhere. Trump said he has no idea who this woman is. He wouldn't appear in court. And some people are saying the fact that he wouldn't bother to show up in the court might have been one of the reasons he was found guilty, because he was kind of blowing it off. But here's what he said. This verdict is a disgrace. It is a continuation of the greatest political witch hunt in history. He said, we'll appeal. We got treated very badly by the Clinton-appointed judge, and Carol is a Clinton person, too.
Yeah.
That does sound like him, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, like I'll tell you, anything with the word Clinton in it, you know, the name Clinton in it, because I don't care who you are or, you know, what your party affiliation or what radio show you have on a Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning, but I tell you what, you can't match Trump with Clinton when he was in office.
Oh, my goodness.
If you want to talk about Clinton abusing women, please, in the next time, involve the name Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, Trump may have done this or whatever, and it hasn't been proven. He's been accused of it and supposedly convicted of it, whatever. It was nothing but a civil case, basically.
Yep.
But when it comes down to facts is what happened in the Oval Office when Clinton, and not even in the Oval Office, there were many other things before that.
Clinton makes Trump look like an amateur when it comes to all that kind of stuff, that is for sure. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you the top 10 states with the longest shared borders.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. We appreciate you finding time to listen to us. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Ed, all our shows are put on podcast. And all you have to do, if you miss a show or you want to hear it again, is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the very top, and it will open up a window that will show you all the shows, starting with the most recent show, who the guest is, who the top 10, what the top 10 is. Ed's got all of that on there for you. Bless him. And you can enjoy it. And you can listen. And you can learn. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, Jerome Powell, he is our Federal Reserve Chairman. And Gallup polling says that public confidence in Jerome Powell is about as good as it is for Joe Biden. The poll shows 36% of U.S. adults say they have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence that the Federal Reserve Chairman will do or recommend the right thing for the economy. That's lower than Janet Yellen, although she was only a point higher at 37%. She was the chairman before Jerome Powell. And so there's not much confidence in the Federal Reserve, basically. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Every time we raise the rate on borrowing, all kinds of trouble occurs. The stock market goes bad. It's harder for you to get a loan, go buy a house or anything else. So it slows down the home market. You want to get a loan for a car, the automobile market, all kinds of things. So anyway, that's not very good news. I guess they may hold back on raising the interest rate for a little bit of time, but it says confidence in the Federal Reserve generally follows the health of the economy. In 2020, just a month after the onset of the pandemic, Powell was at 58%. Now he's at 36%. So he's really been sliding. But, you know, with the economy the way it is, everybody's taking a hit, mainly Biden. The only person that seems to get worse numbers than Biden, and he's got horrible numbers now, the worst in the history of a recording of a president, is his vice president, Kamala Harris. So there you go. All right. Before we get on to our top 10, we have a good top 10. Do you remember, Ed, the Minnesota quarterback Joe Kapp?
Yeah.
He passed away.
Yeah, so 85 years old.
He was 85 years old. He was a Super Bowl quarterback. And I do remember him. There was another one, Fran Tarkenton, that came on right after Joe Kapp, and he was also a very good and the Super Bowl quarterback for the Vikings. But Joe Kapp passed away. I think he had an Alzheimer's disease situation. Mm. I did want to recognize that fact. So what is going on? Our beloved Tampa Bay Rays have been continuing, from what I can see, to do very, very well. Have they been playing with the Orioles recently, or what's going on with their...
The second game was last night. They lost that game, 2-4.
They did, okay.
So they'll play, I think they got two more with them. They got a really tough road game, road swing here. They're going to finish up with the Orioles, and then this weekend they're going to be at the Yankees.
Oh, they will. That'll be interesting.
And then they're going to stay in New York and have three games with the Mets.
Ah, the Yankees and the Mets, two of the highest payroll teams in Major League. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting as well. I hope they sock it to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you go for winning series. It'd be nice if they win that one today, because the Orioles are good this year. They're second in the American League East, right behind the Rays.
All right, so this is good.
They're only about four games behind the Rays.
So are they playing them today?
They will today, yeah.
Okay.
And then they have another game, I think, Thursday. Or maybe, I don't have to check.
Hey, should we pay kudos to our hockey neighbors to the south of us? The Florida Panthers? Did you see that they're 3-0 against the Toronto Maple Leafs? Yeah. The Maple Leafs took out our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning.
Breaks my heart.
And the Florida Panthers, who took out the Boston Bruins, are slapping around the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. They're on 3-0. They're playing tonight. They might sweep them.
It's kind of hard to cheer for them, though. You know, they're still known as the stinking past Panthers.
Why?
Yeah, I just don't like them.
How come? Because they're rivals of the Lightning?
Yeah, they're rivals of the Lightning, and they've kind of done some dirty things in the past.
Okay. So you're not rooting for them. Okay.
No, I'm done with hockey.
Yeah, you're not watching any of it? I like watching hockey. I find playoffs to be
fun. Unless I get a horse in the race, nope.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that. Very good. All right, my friend. It is time for our top 10, and I think this is an interesting one. I brought it up because we have, you know, all this trouble along the southern border. So I thought, well, what states share the longest borders? And I want to see, Ed, if you listen to all of these, if you can come up with the two states that share the very longest border between them, all right, so here we go. Number 10. At 377.7 miles, Montana and Wyoming.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a long border. It really is. Mm-hmm. Number 9. At 386 miles, Oregon and Washington, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. One's on top of the other. Number 8, 391 miles. It's only about 5 more miles than the Oregon-Washington border, is the Arizona-New Mexico border. 391 miles even. Number 7, Nebraska and South Dakota. Mm-hmm. South Dakota's right on top of Nebraska. And that's 399.4 miles. Wow. Number 6, at 409 miles, Kansas and Oklahoma. That's a biggie.
It's all actually in that area. I thought it had to be a race between them, and it wasn't going to be that far apart.
What's that?
That in that area there with Arkansas and New Mexico and they all touched each other, basically.
Well, you mean Arizona and New Mexico,
Arizona,
right? Yeah,
Mexico.
They all do. Yeah. And you notice, too, all of the states, as we get further west, each of the states is larger and larger and larger.
Yeah.
So you're going to have longer borders. All right, let's see here. Number five, Louisiana and Mississippi. Now, I would not have thought that, but think about it for a moment.
Yep.
Louisiana and Mississippi, which, by the way, are right next to each other. Yeah. One is just on the east side of the other. 457 miles between those two. That's very interesting. Number four, at 536 miles, New Mexico and Texas.
Texas
has a long border with a
but covers so many states, though. That's the thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right. Number three, at 570 miles, Idaho and Montana. Idaho and Montana. They got, if you look at the, Idaho's an interesting state. It's almost looks like a chimney.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's got a long neck.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. Well, you know this one had to be in there somewhere. California and Nevada.
I was just thinking California is going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, they were. And they, but a 609-mile border between California and Nevada.
But another state that borders a lot of states.
Yeah. Well, so. Right, you are. Okay, Ed, I don't know if you've been listening, but do you? Let's see if you can come up with either one of the two states that have, and I'll tell you how long the border is. It's 715 miles.
Huh.
It's much longer than any other. I'll give you a big hint. Big hint. If you remember, I used to live in one of them.
Illinois?
Might be. You want to guess Illinois?
All right. Go for it.
All right. Roll the drum. No. I used to live in Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Texas have the longest border between them.
Oklahoma.
715 miles. Now,
what's the one where the four states corner each other?
Oh, that's that. Doesn't that include Montana, Wyoming? I gotta look. Colorado, maybe. And it's a bunch of those rectangular big states, and I think it's up north.
Yeah.
West, northwest area somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. You know, another place that has a lot of border. And you can stand like in you can actually stand with four states touching. Is Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, and one other state. They're all right next to each other. At one point, they come together very close.
Yeah.
So
and you can step to the left of me in one.
You can
state.
Be exactly, and I think there's four different states that you can actually. Anyway, that's the way it goes, my friends. We thank you so very much for being with us here on a Wednesday. We will indeed be back on Friday. Meantime, please remember, freedom works.
That I once knew, she took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey, whoa.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM
102.3 WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A member of Congress arrested today on federal criminal charges. New York Republican George Santos, who admitted lying about his past, faces charges that include wire fraud.